Again, I welcome you on behalf of the working staff of the Black Cat, the most famous bohemian bar in the world. It's always rather exciting to see the various people that do come down to the Black Cat, because you find wolves in sheep's clothing, shall we say. And of course, I always like to welcome the leather jacket girls, the queens that work so hard during the week, and then on Friday they shed the Ivy League look and put on those gay leather jackets and those chains, and they run up and down Market Street on their Vespas. I think it's just the end. It's too much. Oh, it's so gay. Yes, what's wrong with you, Mary? I'm not supposed to hold this thing too close to me, and that's rather hard for an old queen like myself. Oh, it's so delightful. How are you, my dear? It's been some time since I've seen you. And how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you. And how are you? Where are you from, sir? Tell me. I love that hairdo.
Milpitas.
Milpitas. My goodness gracious. Ladies and gentlemen, Milpitas is that place that my German professor used to tell me where to... Oh, she's playing Milpitas music. She's very gay, that girl. Well, I remember once when I was taking German, a very advanced course in German, my teacher got very angry at me, and he said, "Why don't you go to Milpitas?" Well, I went to Milpitas. Best lay I ever had. And where are you from, sir?
Where are you from? Oakland.
You're from Oakland? My goodness. How did you get over here now that we don't have the ferry system anymore? I don't understand it.
Over with a queen.
Oh, I see. And where are you from, sir?
Oakland.
You're from Oakland, too? My goodness, we have a lot of Oakland girls coming over here. It's just too much.
Just move your bun.
Yes, thank you. And where are you from? Oh, excuse me.
Oh, my goodness.
Where are you from, sir?
Estabula, Ohio.
Ohio? My Estabula, Ohio! My goodness gracious! Where in the hell is that located? Did you hear about the Black Cat in Estabula, Ohio? You did? Isn't that bad? My goodness. There must be at least one queen in Estabula, Ohio. That's all I got to say. Oh, glory. And at this table here, I want to welcome these lovely, these are my neighbors, you know. I went and bought a small little hill in Fairfax. Over in Fairfax, they're already taking sides. Some of them are saying, "Oh, it's lovely. Jose is going to live over here. And now we can see him perform, and we won't have to go to the Black Cat." And then there are those that are saying, "Oh, my God, she'll be running around in high-heeled shoes and kimonos." Well, I got news for them. I bought a donkey. I'm hitching it up to that rickshaw, and I'm going to ride the hills that way. I understand the latest sport in those mountains is you take your dog walking in the afternoon and drop in on your neighbors for coffee. Well, I'm going to hitch up my donkey, and I'm going to take him along with me. I'm going to make sure I have ass with me. Thank you for getting that one. And how do you do, my... This is my ballet teacher. He's the young man that keeps me stretching like a virgin at 40. That's very difficult to do. You know, ladies and gentlemen, oh, you have a very attractive bracelet. I have one similar to it, my dear. Yes. Oh, now you're there. You are bumping glasses. Do you know her?
Vaguely.
Have you always worn glasses?
Not always.
Not always? When did you have to wear them? How old were you, may I ask?
About 13.
13? Makes me think of a little story. Johnny was caught masturbating by his mother, and she was quite upset about this, you see, because it's a habit that one should not acquire, at least continue. Yeah. Well, at any rate, she thought a while, and finally she approached her son. She said, Johnny, you must not do this or you will become blind. And he thought a while, and he said, well, mother dear, can't I do it until I need glasses? So you can see, at 13, he stopped. Oh, it's charming. Where are you from, my dear?
San Leandro.
San Leandro. My aunt's third husband was from San Leandro. He was a police officer over there. And then he came over to San Francisco, and this is during the time of Prohibition. And they caught him making bootleg liquor in the basement. Oh, it was a scandal. The family had to go and hide out in the sand dunes until he came out of San Quentin. And then he became respectable. Chief of police or something like that. Oh, and where are you from, my dear?
Argentina.
My goodness gracious. You are from the Pampas down there and all that sort of stuff, aren't you? Oh, isn't that gay? You have very beautiful eyes. And where are you from, sir? Where?
Piedmont.
How in the hell did Argentina get together with Piedmont? It wasn't easy. All I have to say is that was a mighty big stretch. Ooh, caramba. And how are you, my dear? I haven't seen you since the Turkish Baz days. Yes. This girl and I, we used to tramp days. That was the Jack. That was it, Jack's. We used to run up and down the corridors until finally they had to put in a new rug and we kind of lost all interest in it. Those were the good old days. Oh, and how are you, my dear?
Fine.
Yo, my goodness gracious. And where are you lovely people from?
Over from here.
You're from here. You have a slight accent, however.
I'm here.
Yes. And where are you? Please take your hands out of your pocket. We're fighting to save our license here, honey. I don't understand this. Yes, hands out of your pockets.
Goodness gracious.
You know, it's rather interesting. It's rather interesting when I approach people, they all begin to shiver and shake and carry on very mad like. Now, take this queen here, for instance. She's all upset because she knows I'm going to ask her a question. Where are you from?
Europe.
Yeah. Whereabouts in Europe?
Switzerland.
My aunt's fourth husband was from Switzerland. Yes, he was from the Neuchâtel. Do you know where Neuchâtel is? Il est parlé français et toutes les choses comme ci, comme ça. Formidable. He died. He left her quite wealthy. He was related to the Bengarels and Rickenbackers. Oh, fabulous people. Mary, your mother had to go to court to fight. That's all I have to say. And how are you? It's very nice. I want to meet a real genuine beatnik. He's a genuine beatnik, and he's traveling with some very genuine beatnik. How are you? Fine there. This is Kazumoto. How are you, my dear? You're looking very gay today.
And where are you from, sir?
New York.
New York. My goodness, how did you land in the Black Pussy from New York?
That was easy.
It wasn't easy.
No.
How's everything in New York these days?
Chilly.
It's cold, huh? How is gay life in New York?
Not as good as San Francisco.
Not as good as San Francisco. I have, you know, we've been fighting every step of the way. Los Angeles is quite confused now that the prostitutes are wild out there. Because we don't have that problem here. We don't have that problem here. We have other problems. Yes, dear. And how are you? Take your fingers out of your mouth. That's how I began. My goodness gracious. Yes. Oh, yes. I always think of fraternity men when I see men with their pipes in their mouth. I think it's just so bad. Are you a fraternity man, may I ask?
No.
No? Do you belong to any kind of an organization?
None at all, Minuteman.
You're not a Minuteman?
No.
No, you know, that was quite disastrous. There was the Queens of Los Angeles were going to organize like we organized here in the city, but they discovered them all too fast down there. It was a shame. Yes. Where are you from, sir? Boston. My goodness gracious. I remember the Statler Hotel very well. That's in front of that park there. Oh, I've been in almost every one that's worthwhile. How are you, my dear? Fine. Is this your friend? And where did you meet him?
San Francisco.
San Francisco. True love found at the YMCA. Oh, I think that's all right, darling. And these young boys with the I see we have Madame Pussycat today. How are you, my dear? Yes, she's the young lady that you find checking the garbage cans in back of the Emporium in City of Paris. Yes, very gay girl. Where are you from, sir? The one that's looking at Pussycat. Yes, you. Where are you from? Your reputation shot to hell the minute you came in here, you know. You know, he reminds me of the gentleman that was very active in his club. And one day, the club was going to have a speaker, a very guest speaker, speak to them. And all of a sudden, the guest speaker phoned up at the last minute and said that he was unable to come. And the subject that he was going to talk about was to be sex. So the members asked George if he would kind of pitch hit for the speaker. And George says, well, I don't know anything about sex. How can I talk to the membership? And they said, oh, you can tell about your own experiences. So George got up and he held them at bay while he told them about his experiences. Everybody figured this was fabulous. Well, he came home that night and he told his wife that at the club he was chosen to pitch hit for this guest speaker. And he was quite pleased. His wife says, well, my dear, what did you talk about? Naturally, he wasn't going to tell his wife that he talked about sex. So he said, yachting. She said, yachting. Well, she didn't give it much thought and she rolled over and went to sleep. And about 3 days later, she's out at the supermarket shopping, and one of the members come over and says, why, Hazel, I want to tell you that was a fabulous speech George made the other night at the club. And she says, yes, George told me about it, but I don't understand why he spoke on that subject. You know, he's only tried it twice. The first time, he got sick to his stomach, and the second time, he lost his hat. I like to do a number and I like to dedicate it to the men in the house, entitled A Good Man Is Hard to Find. A good man is hard to find. Yes, we get the Nelly kind. And when you think that you've got a he-man, you find him drawing pictures on the walls of the woman's can. Then you hope and then you pray the little monkey be in his gray. Now listen, girls, you take my advice. You kiss him in the morning, you hug him every noon.
Fill that thing with alum, girls. Don't give him a lot of room. Cause a good man nowadays is hard to find. I said a good man is hard to find. You usually wind up with the Nelly Los Angeles kind. And when you think that you've got a real he-man, everybody had him last night at the YMCA camp. And then you hope and then you pray the little monkey be in his garage. Now listen, girls, you take my advice. You kiss him in the morning, hug him every noon, and don't say no to him, or I will do him soon. Cause a good man nowadays is hard to find. So, Gay, when did you two young boys come in? My goodness gracious. Where are you from? Monterey. There's nothing like the sands of Monterey at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's gay down there. Do they still have that roving patrol out there, though? Oh, yes. Well, there's nothing so gay as the roving patrol at 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, Lord. Drive carefully, or are you staying in town tonight? Oh, you're staying in town? May I ask the name of the hotel that you're staying at? Oh, come. Whisper in my good ear. Which one is it, the Embarcadero or the Golden Gate Avenue?
Yes.
Yeah, Golden Gate. 503 and 504. Connecting door, you know. Lovely. Oh, it's so gay. Well, I kind of missed you girls up here. My goodness gracious. This young man works for the IBM, but I don't want this news to get out beyond our doors. How's everything over there at IBM these days?
I don't work for them.
You shut your hole, Mary, otherwise I'll know where you really work. Here I'm being diplomatic, and she... Mercy!
Mercy!
Ladies and gentlemen, while I still have a little time and while you all are so quiet and attentive, I'd like to tell you that tomorrow begins the very first of the new series of opera to be presented at the Black Cat. Tomorrow's opera, ladies and gentlemen, will be The Magic Flute. All those that have never played on a magic flute, please come down. We're going to make it cooperative institution tomorrow. But at any rate, it is a very, very gay opera. It's an opera written by Wolfgang Mozart. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and it's a satire on the Masonic Order. We don't know whether it really is the forerunner of modern day operetta, believe it or not. There is no recitatives in this thing. And by a recitative, you probably don't know what a recitative is. Do you know what a recitative is?
No.
You don't?
No.
Well, I'll tell you. Hazel, play something, and we'll do a recitative for them. You can imagine that just before this takes place, the heroine has discovered that she's a lesbian and she's knocked up. She is beside herself with perplexity. And so she thinks to herself, and this is what she says.
Je ne sais pas pourquoi je suis knocked up. Dites-moi, qu'est-ce que c'est le butcher? Peut-être demain, peut-être aujourd'hui. La 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 la. Je ne sais pas. Oh la la. Gorgonzola. Pasta shota.
You see, by this time, she's thought it all out. She's going over to Oakland to get some of those knockout pills and clear the whole situation up. That is what a recitative is. Well, in our opera tomorrow, you will not hear any recitatives. It is going to be straight off the shoulder. No one gets knocked up but the hero. Oh, I think that's gay. Oh, yes. Well, now, so don't forget, at 4:30, you will see the magic flute. Costumes have been executed by that one and only, the Mad Russian. They were designed and executed about 4 years ago, and I shook the moths out of them, and they're still in good condition. Oh, no, I never throw anything away. I have to have them when I turn in my income tax form. Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I have another little story that I like to tell you. And this happens to deal with a unique bar. And you know, a bar is unique because of various things. The paintings on the wall, the type of clientele that come there, the working personnel. Such was the case with this bar. It had a unique piano player. He could play any number anyone could think of. And also, there was a little monkey. A little monkey that used to sit on the shoulders of the people and carry on and do various things. One day, a young gentleman in a red vest came in and ordered... Don't you turn around, Mary. I'm talking about you. And ordered a very, very exotic drink. The bartender made it and served it in an open glass. He was so proud of his fantastic drink that he sat there and admired it, and he played with it, and he fingered it, and, oh, he did a lot of things with it, his drink. And then he excused himself and went to the restroom. While he was at the restroom, ladies and gentlemen, the little monkey perched himself on the rim of this lovely drink with his testicles hanging on the inside. Can you imagine this?
Can.
It's very hard for our dear friend from Idaho to imagine this. Evidently, they don't have gay bars there. But at any rate, ladies and gentlemen, and my dear friend, when the gentleman came back and saw his drink, he was completely distraught. He looked at his drink and he screamed. He said, "My goodness, look what that monkey's done to my drink." The bartender said, "Don't tell me your troubles, Mac. That monkey does not belong to me nor the bar. It belongs to the piano player. If you have any complaints, go and tell him." So, he got up from his stool, went over to the piano player, and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, Mac, do you know the monkey's got his testicles in my drink?" The piano player, who was very busily playing, said, "Never heard the tune before, Mac, but if you hum it, I'll play it for you." And may I find out where you people are from?
I'm from New York.
New York?
Yeah, it's too hot there.
Oh, my goodness. How did you hear about the black cat?
Oh, Christ, we all know it.
You all do. And where are you from?
New York, yes.
New York. Roommates?
Another side of the park.
Don't blush, darling. We all have our problems. I really, that's right. Well, for better or for worse, you're stuck with them. May I ask the name of the establishment that you're staying at these days? Oh, the Fairmont. You have cheaper rates at the Embarcadero, or the Golden Gate has very good rates over there, darling. Oh, don't give me that Fairmont bullshit, honey. I know better.
Good boy.
Looking in the audience, I find so many people wearing glasses, and I like to tell a story about glasses. There was a woman that was losing her eyesight, and she was quite perturbed over the fact that she was losing her eyesight and she was still a young woman. So she went to the doctor, and the doctor said that he would examine her eyes to see if there was something that could be done to correct this malady. So he told her, he said, "My dear, I want you to stand on that wall while I stand at the other wall, and I will hold cards up, and you tell me what letters I have on them." So he held up a rather small card, and she looked, and she said, "Doctor, I can't see a thing." So then he held up a bigger card, and he said, "Now tell me, madam, what do you see?" She squinted, and she said, "I'm sorry, doctor, I can't see a thing." He backed away from the cards. He pointed to the wall, and he said, "Now, madam, tell me, what am I pointing to?" She looked, she squinted, she passed wind, and she said, "I can't see a damn thing, doctor. I'm losing my eyesight." And she became hysterical. The doctor thought a while, and he said, "One more test, my dear." He stood in front of the wall, unzipped his zipper, and he said, "Now, madam, tell me, what do you see?" She squinted a little bit, and a little smirk came over her face, and she smiled. She says, "Yes, doctor, now I can see." He says, "Madam, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight. You're just cockeyed, that's all."
Right now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to tell a story which I haven't told in some time. And it's a success story. As you know, success is something that we all wish to achieve.
And it is very difficult sometimes to achieve it. However, in Los Angeles and in Hollywood, it is very simple to achieve. You either have to have money, know somebody, or be very talented behind closed doors. Such was the case with these two queens that went down there and became the most successful extras Hollywood had ever seen. There was never a motion picture made that these girls did not appear. And at the height of their career, a movie director was going to close his making of pictures, and he decided that he would go to the Bible and make an epic picture from the Bible. And out to Death Valley he went, and he constructed the Colosseum, stone for stone, mortar for mortar, glory hole for glory hole. I'm so glad everybody understands what I'm talking about. Well, naturally, our two girls got a job as extras. They were Christians. And as they went out to Death Valley to become great stars in this epic motion picture, they were fitted in silks and satins, and naturally, being true queens, they sashayed up and down in front of the cameras to let everybody see how beautiful, how gorgeous they were. All of a sudden, the movie director got ready. He said, "Camera, action!" And then the camera began to take this epic picture. Our two girls were down in the middle of the arena, busy sashaying around, unaware of the fact that realism was going to be the keynote in this picture. For in back of them, out of a trap door, there they opened, and there sprung, ladies and gentlemen, the most ferocious, the most man-eating pussycat you ever seen. These animals jumped out, and they snatched, and they grabbed, and they tore. Ooh, it was a gay scene, that's all I can say. But our two girls were still very busy sashaying in front of the cameras. They didn't realize what was going on. All of a sudden, one turned around, and as she did, this ferocious lion was just about to snatch her. That sounds bad, doesn't it? And she grabbed her tail and she ran for the other end of the arena. And as she was running, she passed her dear sister, who was running in the opposite direction with a pussycat on her tail. And as they passed one another, one said to the other, she says, "My God, Mary, who do we screw to get out of this picture?"